Welcome, all you listeners of the Behind the Curtain podcast, the North Bend Theater's one and only exclusive. Special for you, not behind a paywall podcast. It's not necessarily exclusive to you. Tell your friends. It's also not behind a paywall. That's not a joke. That's for real. You don't have to pay for this. Did you know that?
Oh.
They don't have to pay for that.
You took $20 from me last week.
What was that for? But you didn't. I can't believe you fell for that. Welcome to the Behind the Curtain, North Bend Theater's one and only podcast. We're introing it again just because, I don't know, if you didn't hear the first time, you know. It isn't behind a paywall. It's free. Tell your friends. I looked at our numbers. They're not very high. So, you know, if any one of your friends are interested in listening to managers of an independent movie theater just sort of talk about movie theaters and movies and
stuff.
Tell your friends. It's short, sweet. It's a nice little bite-sized audio chunk of behind the scenes stuff. So
local theater information.
Yeah. Thought I heard a person or something.
Oh, it was Evan. He's walking around the background.
Okay. Whoa, God. Oh, creepy. Spooky.
I just saw his shadow.
Okay. Oh,
whisk through the lobby.
We're almost in December. I thought we left October like well behind.
Well, the spider's still in the front of the building, so it's clinging on.
Still spooking people out. I heard there's somebody that came up and was like, "I will not see a movie while your spider is attached to your front wall." And like the fact that they came up to the ticket booth to say that is like, you're already like halfway there, buddy.
just walk in the door inside.
And then just completely forget about it because we've already done that, I guess.
Nice lady over at Birch's this morning, I walked past her, and she suggested that we put a Santa hat on it.
We should put a little red nose and antlers. We should make it Rudolph the Red-Nosed Spider.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
If we can put a spider up there, there's no reason we can't put Santa's sleigh on the side of the building. Although, does that break, like, fire code and stuff?
I don't know.
Like, are we technically breaking laws here?
Probably not. It's a decoration.
Yeah. I don't know. It does make me a little nervous. I wonder if you have information about North Bend City fire codes and King County fire codes and
strapping objects to the side of your building.
Yeah, strapping decorations to the side of your building. Please let us know. You know, northbendtheater.com, business@northbendtheater.com. Give us an email. Let us know because, yeah, that might be helpful. I'm one of your hosts, Steven Nelson, the assistant manager of the North Bend Theater.
And I'm your other host, Skylar Possert, the manager of the North Bend Theater.
I like a nice, it's not a cold open, it's like a lukewarm open. I guess realistically that it fits because if you're listening to this when it's released, you're probably enjoying some nice Thanksgiving Day leftovers. So
hopefully they're not lukewarm also. Heat those things back up.
Yeah, I'm cold sandwich is still good.
Yeah.
Although I do like, you know, that open top.
Lukewarm though implies that you didn't put it in the fridge afterwards and it just sat out all night.
Yeah. Well, or you're going back for like thirds, you know. I don't blame people. Like Thanksgiving dinner is like great.
That's why you eat dinner at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Isn't that the usual?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you can go back at like 6 and then
and you're like, all right, round 2.
Grab a bite right at midnight before you go out Black Friday shopping.
Mm-hmm. I've actually never gone and done that.
It's fun and kind of, it's either really disappointing or really terrifying. So you know, either way.
I was seeing, it was like last week, like Best Buy was like, hey, our Black Friday deals are already here. And I'm like, you guys need to calm down.
It's just like movie releases. Down.
Yeah.
Coming out this Friday. First showtime is 7 p.m. on Wednesday.
Yeah. What? What? Opening weekend.
But it still counts as Friday.
Opening weekend, technically 5 days. Like, that's not how releases work. That's not how this should work.
All right, we want to go into the actual schedule.
Oh, God. Yeah, we probably should do that.
Yep.
Intro, so you can, like, listen to that. And then if you don't want to listen to the rest, then go for it. So, yeah. You want to go? You want me to go?
You're probably, yeah, you go ahead.
Okay.
You got the schedule.
So we are in
the list.
Week 2 of Frozen 2. It is Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th. We have fives and eights on both days. That's PM, by the way. And then Sunday, December 1st. Oh boy, December. It's already here. a 10 a.m. Frozen 2. No, is that right?
Yep, that's for 10 a.m.
Special request showtime.
Yep.
I see. So it's a public show. We've got a small group coming in. They are not going to be they're going to be taking up a very small amount of seats. So if you're still interested and you're up on Sunday
morning at 10 a.m.
Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and you want to come see Frozen 2, plenty of seats. And then we'll have a 1 p.m. as well. Monday through Wednesday, Frozen 2 at 3 p.m. We'll get into the why in a little bit. And then Thursday the 5th will be at 6:30. And then starting on the 6th, we're still working on what film we're going to be getting. It's not going to be an on-release film. We're currently looking at Ford versus Ferrari, which is one that I should probably come in and watch.
I'd like to see it too. I've heard the acting's amazing in it, and it's a really fun story.
I grew up watching NASCAR, so, you know, and racing, so vehicular racing. So I'm very interested in, should be a fun movie. Are our showtime solid for that, technically? Not the movie itself. We're still working on getting the license. The showtimes, if we are going to have showtimes for December 6th, we're looking at a 6:30. On the Saturday the 7th, we would be looking at a 2 p.m.
Yeah, these are pretty solid.
Okay, the showtime times.
The actual times, yeah.
If we have a showtime on Saturday, we are looking at a 12:30. Monday and Tuesday, the 9th and 10th, are 6:30s. Wednesday the 11th is a 2 p.m. The 12th is also a 2 p.m. And for whatever reason, the showtime lengths are two different things. It's kind of odd. And then on the 13th, I have absolutely no idea. We're actually looking like the 13th through the 19th, we might not have a cohesive showtimes because we're off release the week before Star Wars, and
there's a lot going on that week.
Oh goodness,
tons of private events, and then also Christmas films.
Yeah, it's the week before Christmas, so everyone, like the schools, are coming in for
field trips,
Christmas and field trips, Christmas movies, and all of that stuff. So, the 13th through the 19th, we potentially won't have a regular movie, yeah. A consistent movie. So.
Still in the works, though. We may pull something out at the last moment.
Yep. And then starting the 20th, Star Wars Episode 9. Is it The Rise of Skywalker?
Actually, its opening night is Thursday the 19th at 7 p.m.
Your tickets. We still have tickets for that, right?
Oh, yeah. They're already up.
Okay.
They're
up online. No, but we still have tickets available.
Oh, available?
Sold out.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, we have right now fewer pre-sales for Star Wars than we did Frozen. So,
interesting.
Yeah, well, but that'll pick up here in a week or two.
Yeah, because we've got 2-3 weeks? 3 weeks till?
Yeah.
God, that's scary. all right, you got those special events?
Yep, I got all sorts of special events.
Oh boy, here we go.
Okay. The reason for those early 3 p.m. Frozen 2 showtimes next week is Banff, the Banff Mountain Film Festival.
BANFF.
Yep. I have no idea what it stands for. It's got to be an acronym, but I actually don't know.
I think it's literally Banff.
Banff. And that's December 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. That's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we are sold out for that for the most part. We actually just released a small handful of tickets, which may actually not be available by the time this podcast is actually released in 2 days. It may or may not be there, but there still could be a few tickets left. So if you're interested, get on there and check it out. There might be a couple tickets left. And other than that, we are sold out for Banff. And then, let's see, Banff is 7 p.m., doors at 6 p.m. You definitely want to get here early and get a good seat, get drinks or whatnot. It's not assigned seating, so if you want a good seat, you definitely have to show up early for it. And then, On the weekend, we have Saturday, Warren Miller and the Outdoor Amateur Film Challenge. These events are kind of bundled together. Outdoor Amateur Film Challenge is at 6 p.m. Doors at 5:30, and that goes until almost 7 p.m. And then doors are 7 p.m. for Warren Miller. Film starts at 8. Let's see, Warren Miller is sold out right now, but we do have a wait list. So if you're interested in that, you can get on or email us at business@North Bend Theater or give us a call in the office, although that's less consistent.
Yep.
Emails we will definitely see. We can get you on that wait list. There's still lots of tickets available for the Outdoor Amateur Film Challenge. If you get a Warren Miller ticket, it will automatically include admission to the Outdoor Amateur Film Challenge. OAFC for short. It's much easier. But if you have tickets to the OAFC, then that does not include Warren Miller admission. So after the film challenge, you have to get up and leave, and we'll be letting in our crowds for Warren Miller.
Okay.
So kind of a complicated little scenario, but yeah, we do have some pretty fun submissions for the film challenge this year. Mm-hmm. We're still got to finish review and judging to see who won. But
we did our first run through of the films for
screening
yesterday.
Pre-screening.
It was a fun watch, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah. Full of Yetis and
that was
skiing.
Good.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that covered? Gone over, what's the thing? Real Rock?
Yeah. So then next day on December 8th, and sorry, Warren Miller was December 7th, Saturday, December 7th. Real Rock 14 is December 8th at 5 p.m. Doors at 4. We still have quite a few tickets left for this. I think we're at about 140 tickets sold out of our 265 max capacity. So tickets are still selling pretty quick, but if you want to see Real Rock, there's still a lot left. Definitely encourage buying tickets online in advance. It makes checking in at the door way easier. You don't have to wait in a line, and helps us better prepare for how many people are coming. But yeah, tickets are still available for that. That is the last film in our Mountain Film series this year. And then we go on to next year and planning for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
The week after that, I should say the couple weeks after that, we're looking at a whole slew of Christmas films. I can't really confirm or announce any of them yet because everything is still fluid. Licensing for these can be kind of a pain, and we're still figuring things out, but hopefully within the next few days, we'll have something solid. The only one I can confirm is Elf, which is on December 6th, which I actually kind of skipped over. December 6th at 3 p.m., it's a free showing of Elf. It's part of the North Bend Holidays Festival. You can come watch the movie here, and then afterwards, head right over, I believe it's somewhere along the main drag, I think probably over by Cook Real Estate, is where they usually start out. There's a tree lighting and stuff like that.
I think it's right on the corner of the Chevy dealership.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So,
but more information than that is available. Our flyer in the lobby. It's available online. I think it's like the North Bend Chamber of Commerce website. You can check that out. So, yep. Elf on December 6th. Other Christmas films to follow. And then that's about it for upcoming events.
Busy.
Yeah.
I'm already tired. Looking at that list, I'm already tired.
I'd like to talk about, we also have an Extra Life thing and a Smash Valley gaming event in the works, but there's not a whole lot of solid details on those yet either.
Yep. Extra Life, if you do not know, is a organization that helps fundraise for the Children's Miracle Network hospitals across the United States and Canada. Our local would be Seattle Children's Hospital. That is a part of one of the children's hospitals that is a part of the Children's Miracle Network. Extra Life helps facilitate gaming, gamers and gaming events, to help has a back end to help fundraise for the Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
Yeah.
So if say you like to play video games and you want to raise some money for a good cause, Extra Life has a lot of has basically the whole back end to be able to
set up a way to donate, set up a mm-hmm. way
to take donations.
Yeah.
To help facilitate they have a whole community. I really need a better way to describe it because it's still
there's
really
an organizational
confusing
structure there.
Yeah. Yeah, Extra Life is the organizational structure. It is also part of the community is also part of Extra Life. They've also, I think recently this year, been talking about if you can Extra Life as a verb. So I Extra Life for, or I Extra Life at the, you know, what your reason to, you know, help support, because a lot of people will do it for, you know, friends or family members. And then Extra Lifers as the people that have done Extra Life and stuff. So it's
cool.
It's odd. It's like I have a really bad example. It's like the versatility of the F word of it can basically be used as anything. So Extra Life,
it's a verb, it's an adjective,
it's a noun. Extra, yeah, I Extra Life because I'm an Extra Lifer. I'm part of the Extra Life community. It's so odd. If you want more information about Extra Life in general, extra-life.org has their main page. Us as the North Bend Theater has gotten turned on to it by myself. I've sort of pitched the idea initially. It's been a little difficult to get off the ground.
It's been percolating for quite a while.
Yeah, it's an odd. I don't have a whole lot of experience with it myself. I went and did a couple of events myself for this year last month. To varying degrees of success, not a whole lot, but it's a good cause. So mm-hmm. it's one of those things of like, okay, I raised some money. It's not a lot, but you know, other people, you know, bigger organizations and stuff do thousands of dollars of fundraising.
Yeah.
Through it, and so.
But you gotta start somewhere, and every dollar counts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So brought it to the attention of Beth and Skylar and. Probably like 6+ months ago. And we've just sort of trying to figure out what exactly we want to do. So,
right now we're looking at, the day after Christmas, December 26th.
Yep. Do some general gaming, I think.
Yeah.
Some casual
us and people we know. We'll probably pick a handful of games to play
mm-hmm.
and, casual challenge to the community to come down and beat us at games.
Uh huh.
Which for me, that won't be very hard.
Yeah,
I think anyone could probably come down and wipe my face on the floor.
Yeah. So we'll have a couple of consoles and stuff set up. Doors will be open. Like a suggested admission price of I think X amount of dollars. I think we're batting around at 10-ish or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, come in, you know, if you've got $10, you know, and you're coming in, the $10 will go to Extra Life.
Yeah.
Just something casual, something that'll fill the slot of the 26th, because it's the 26th is an off day for sure. For many people. So
hoping to kind of catch the tail end of Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do a little bit of fundraising for Seattle Children. So that one should be fun. You're not gonna take it super seriously or super competitively.
No, it's just gonna be having some fun playing some games and raising money for Seattle Children's Hospital.
Yeah. So if you're interested, come on down, share the word. We'll start putting out more of the word and stuff here in the coming week or two. That's one of the problems of looking at our schedule, and it's so darn busy. And then on top of that, we have to prep for other events coming up. So,
yep.
Speaking of other events,
Smash Valley, we also have a tentative. I shouldn't say tentative. The day is pretty set, January 11th.
Yes.
The plans for the day are not set yet, but hopefully in the next week or so, we'll also be releasing that. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, with Banff happening, I don't know. Because both you and I are working, what, two, if not three of the days, each of the days of Banff, and then a day break, and then Warren Miller and Real Rock 2 days in a row.
All but three or four of my weekly hours that I spend planning, answering emails, all that, my office hours, quote-unquote, will be traded for working Banff and Warren Miller and Real Rock.
Yeah.
A whole lot of planning is going to get done that week. Just working show times.
Yeah. Don't expect emails to get answered.
I might leave an auto reply in the inbox. It just says, sorry, inbox is closed this week.
Yeah, slammed. If you're looking to put your name on the list for Warren Miller,
do it now.
Warren Miller. Do Warren Miller in all caps / urgent, and then we might see it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
That'll catch our attention.
Warren Miller, yeah, because Warren Miller is that weekend after. So
Warren Miller wait list.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Market specifically.
Something we get occasionally, actually not occasionally, pretty much for every sold out event is we'll have a handful of people that come down and want to just hang out and wait to see if a ticket opens up. And sometimes that happens. I think Banff actually happens more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, from the last few of our events, it just hasn't been the case. We haven't had any cancellations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a possibility, but it's not, definitely not guaranteed, and
mm-hmm.
becoming less common. So
yeah, just with the overall demand of Warren Miller and Banff and everything.
Yeah, people are pretty serious about their tickets. Once they've bought them, they commit.
Yeah, and a lot of people will ask about, you know, hey, are tickets available? Like, you know, 3 weeks in advance, and like we've been sold out for
a while,
months now. So, going back to Smash Valley, yeah, we're gonna do something casual, another Smash Bros. Event. I think next episode or at some point here, I'll do a deep dive into Smash Valley and sort of the
that'd be cool
logistics of it, logistics in the thought process behind it, because it's like it's really cool and
logistics include a lot of cables.
Yeah. Actually, I wonder what the statistics would be of the overall, like, what's the total length of our cables if we set them?
How many miles of cable do we have to run? It's probably not that long, but it's a lot.
I mean, because some of it's coiled up, but if we set it end to end, it's probably a good couple miles.
Yeah.
It could be like a 5K, which would be pretty impressive. I mean, because we do have long extension cables and everything. We have the 100-foot HDMI cable.
Have one
so.
Of those gaming events also be, what do you call it, paired with a marathon. You have to run the length of cable that they ran for the tournament.
Yeah. Could you imagine like a Tough Mudder, but it's instead of obstacles, it's like you have to beat a level of Pac-Man and then you can continue
run to the next console.
Yeah. That would be cool. Imagine having to wait in line if there's only like three booths of Pac-Man. Ugh. Yeah, doing something casual for Smash Valley. Doing some more Smash Bros. Ultimate. I'm gonna have all of the characters and stuff unlocked. So come out, you know, play against a couple people.
Speaking of which, are there any characters I need to unlock on my console before that?
Did you get the character pack?
I think I did. I know I also got the...
you got Piranha Plant, right?
Piranha Plant, but okay. I never actually did whatever step was required to unlock that, so hopefully I didn't miss a window of opportunity.
No, I think it automatically unlocked.
Okay.
I think it automatically unlocked. I know that one of the theater ones got Piranha Plant, the other one didn't. And then I need to get the character packs for both. So the character packs have...
I'll look into that. I want to make sure I have all the characters on that console as well.
Yeah, the character pack includes... Goodness. Let's see here. Joker from Persona 5. The latest character, Terry from Fatal Fury, I believe. Banjo from Banjo-Kazooie. Who's our third? It was another sword fighter. It was Hero from Dragon Quest. And his different skins are the different hero character designs from the earlier Dragon Quest games.
That's cool.
And then is that three? I think we have a fourth. Because it's out of five, and I think we're waiting on the fifth character to be announced. Okay. Oh, goodness.
Right, so there will be a handful more characters since the last time we had a Smash event.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let me look it up, because now I'm going to...
Has to know.
Smash Bros. Characters DLC. That's funny. People put there.
Their suggestions.
Yeah, like people want Doom Guy from the Doom series, and then like Waluigi, even though Waluigi has been confirmed of like they're not going to put Waluigi in Smash, which is as a playable character in Smash, which is kind of unfortunate. So Piranha Plant was not part of the DLC. That is not part of the DLC pack.
A pre-purchase thing, right?
Yes. You can buy them for, I think, like less than $5. I think it's like three or four.
Okay.
So Joker, the hero from Dragon Quest, Banjo and Kazooie, Terry Bogard. Oh, okay. So that's four, and then we don't know what the fifth is to be announced.
Okay.
So hopefully announced here shortly. And then released mid-February. So we'll probably have an announcement before the next Smash Valley, because the next Smash Valley is in, what, January?
Yeah.
So we'll have an announcement probably before then, but the character won't be out yet. So
okay.
That'll be interesting. If you're into the fighting games. My personal hope is more of an obscure character. I think it's the final character in the character pack, so they'll probably go with something a little bit more knowledgeable or recognizable. But the character Saber from the Fate series.
I'm trying to think of like some of the off weird games I played on the NES. One of them was called what was it? It was a swamp game. You played at, it was like Bayou Billy or something like that. It was
weird.
It was really fun though, and totally like a one-off game that I don't think anyone remembers.
Could you imagine the spaceship from Galaga coming in or something? trying to think of like just off.
There was
the wall.
A submarine game I used to play on there too. It was completely tactical, and you had to like command a submarine.
It up at some point for me, because I'm thinking there's some classic submarine game from like the early systems that
it was
really cool.
It was on the NES. It was very, very early.
Yeah, because I think with characters like Terry from Fatal Fury, Duck Hunt.
Now featuring the ball from Pong.
Yeah, I mean, the paddle from Pong would be maybe a bit much. There's like so many different characters that would be like really cool to see. A lot of people are hoping for like Sora from the Kingdom Hearts franchise, which I think would work. Although I don't know how.
Is there did they ever pull a character from the Harvest Moon series?
I don't know if there is a recognizable enough character from the Harvest Moon series. I think there's probably either like references via the other mechanics, so either an assist trophy, or like stickers or something, which are like collectible references and stuff to other games, and like tertiary characters that will you know make it in, people are there's a lot of like characters out there that people are like, oh, well, why don't you do this? The one that might be interesting that I don't think would happen, but like Spyro. Maybe Spyro or Crash, because
well, It's Spyro can get on a lot of platforms now, but it was exclusive to PlayStation back then.
Yeah, I think that's the question of like, okay, who holds the rights and are they going to give a thumbs up? Was it a Rare title?
I don't remember.
Because Banjo-Kazooie was the game developer Rare. And Rare was
Insomniac.
Okay, so that's an Activision. It's owned by Activision now, so Activision might.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are wanting Sora from Kingdom Hearts, Doom Guy from the Doom franchise, which I just don't think fits, like, aesthetically and tonally. I don't think it fits. It would be wild to see, but I just don't think so. Rare and Microsoft, like, gave, like, two thumbs up when the developers of Smash wanted Banjo-Kazooie or Banjo and Kazooie. So there's a question mark as far as if the developers of Smash Bros. And their lead game designer Masahiro Sakurai requests a character from like a Microsoft platform or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, besides like,
that's cool. It opens it up to a lot more possibilities.
Yeah, besides someone like the Master Chief, which I just don't see.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I just don't see it though.
It'd be fun to play as Spyro.
Spyro or Crash Bandicoot, I think, are two that just work.
Yeah.
But I don't think like the Xbox platform has those like iconic characters.
Yeah, at least
that
not
are like exclusive
earlier days.
Yeah,
you know, newer console, but
the Xbox came out in 2001. So,
yeah.
We're just rambling.
Well, these are all the fun things that could happen in Smash Bros. So,
yeah, if you want to see some wild, it's like what was that old Flash animation? The Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny. If you ever watched that, that's basically Smash Brothers at this point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, goodness.
Yeah.
That came out a long time ago.
I think Matthew showed that to me.
Yeah, what else are we covering?
That's pretty much it. We wanted to kind of end on those events that are coming farther out that aren't set in stone, Extra Life and Smash Valley.
This isn't a Smash Brothers podcast, but I think we kind of made it that.
We
made it that for there. Yeah.
Something else I wanted to mention on this one as kind of a behind the curtain sneak peek is that we are in the works to launch a campaign to raise money for new seats.
I think we mentioned it before.
Yeah, I think we probably have.
Very casually mentioned that we're getting new seats.
We've
the worst.
Placed a couple launch dates, and those launch dates have come and passed a couple times now. As we continue to move forward with it, we are working on it, but we keep hitting big roadblocks.
Mm-hmm. Or speed bumps.
Yeah,
they're not roadblocks.
Bumps.
Yeah. Roadblocks would be
yet.
Like, yeah.
Big speed bumps where it's like, oh yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
One of the more technical things is that we realized that in our current seating arrangement, if you've ever shopped around for different good seats in the auditorium, you'll notice that the last four rows at the very front are very, very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And there actually used to be more rows that got closer to the screen, and they were all like that. And then all the rows beyond that are actually almost, I think, 12 inches wider.
Wow.
It's quite a bit than the rows at the bottom. And so we want to fix that with new seats and make sure they're all a uniform distance and not cramped at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires also moving all of not only the rows, but the lights that are in the chair ends that light our paths. And that requires moving electrical, which requires electrical permits, which requires an electrician to come and give us a quote. So little things like that kind of keep popping up.
Yeah, so we need contractors to come in and redo electrical and then confirm it and all of that stuff. So,
but I think we're just about done choosing all the materials for seats, and then we can get a quote on the actual cost of the seats themselves. And then we got to find out things like electrician, concrete work. Floors will have to be resurfaced. There's a lot that goes into it, but we are working on it, and hopefully sometime in the beginning of the new year we'll be actually launching that campaign, and we'll probably pursue that pretty aggressively and hopefully finally get some new seats in here that are comfortable but also maintain the 1940s style and look very similar, if not near identical from what I've seen of the seats we're looking at to the seats we have now. But much more comfortable.
Much, much more comfortable. Because we recognize, I mean, very early on of our employment, we recognize how uncomfortable. Because even like before we come here as customers, before we get hired, we recognize how uncomfortable the seats are.
Yeah. I actually had like a, I don't know, an at least 4-year hiatus in which I did not go to the North End Theater at all before I got hired here.
Huh.
Not an intentional thing. Uh-huh. I just, like, we didn't. I don't know why. I remember, yeah. I have childhood memories of always going here a lot. And then for some reason, for quite a while, we didn't come here at all.
Huh.
And then I got hired here. And I was like, oh, yeah. There's a theater here. I was one of those people.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it's just been one of those things of, you know, recognizing working here as well is we're limited on movies that can only hit particular audiences.
Oh yeah, my tie into that, sorry, was that I think it was because uncomfortable seats.
Uncomfortable seats, yeah. That certainly is a big designers would call a pain point for our audience, and definitely something that we've been hoping to resolve and remedy for a very long time. It's a very big cost investment. Mm-hmm. To even get the ball rolling. It's not something that you can do half-baked because it requires, you know, electrical and resurfacing and reorganization of the entire lobby. It's a lot of math and planning just beforehand, before you even buy any of the seats.
Now we have to look into a lot of, like, accessibility laws and stuff like that to make sure we're accessible to people in wheelchairs or whatnot. And,
it's like half of a logistical nightmare to like get it done. And small business, there's what, 6 employees, 8, like less, the full team of the North Bend Theater is like less than 10 people.
Yeah. And as far as the actual people excluding the owners who also come down here and work, regular shifts. If you're just looking at the employees who work shifts, it's 5 of us.
There's 5 of us. So, but the people with the agency, to get new seats is like 3, 3 or 4.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a little bit of input from myself, a lot of planning on your part, and then a lot of work on Beth's part to bring all of the pieces together.
On
top of
getting all the quotes,
running this place daily and making sure that we're stocked and staffed and operating is, you know, just the most fun.
There's a lot of really important decisions too that have to go into new seats, because the ones we have here are the originals from 1940.
Hmm? No.
Yeah.
No, these aren't.
They were resurfaced.
These chairs were bought by another theater that was going out of business for like $5 a chair. Yeah, during the like 2001 remodel or whatever.
I have no information on that.
That's what I was told. I was told that these chairs were purchased from another theater that was going under at some point, replacing previous chairs.
The history that I'm aware of is that they were upgraded in the 90s remodel with cup holders, but the actual chairs themselves are from the American Seating Company from the 1940s.
Huh.
Well, I guess we have some research to do now.
I guess so.
Weird.
Yeah.
One way or another, they are very old.
I swore I heard something. If they were bought from another theater, they were, you know, they were used elsewhere before here.
But my point being is that they've actually lasted quite a long time.
Some might say too long.
Yeah, we repair them a lot. And so, you know, we want to make sure to pick seats that are going to last equally as long the next time. We don't want to pass this theater on to the next owners, and then 20 years from now, the seats are completely falling apart because we got cheap plastic seats that are not working.
Yeah.
We want to make sure they're nice, they're comfortable, they're high quality, and they're going to last the next hopefully 70 years.
That's the hope.
Something that'll look nice.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder what the turnaround is. Is it something like 70 to 100 years? Because I can't imagine the chairs. I mean, the most sat in chair in this auditorium is probably sat in at least twice a day, mm-hmm. for showtimes and events. Or no, probably not even that. Just because our overall attendance is lower. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what the wear and tear over time is, sort of the hypothetical.
It'd be funny to count a chair's lifetime in times sat in.
Because different companies will do stress tests on, like, your phone. Manufacturers and stuff will do stress tests where they'll get a... what is it called? Pneumatic press or something with like a one of those like touchscreen rubber tips or whatever, and then just go at
just go ham on the phone.
Basically, like 60 to 100 taps per minute at varying pressures, just to see how solid the glass is. And so I'm curious if seating companies have done something similar with.
They just have a seat cushion stress test. And a hydraulic press that like.
Looks like
the weight of a person sitting in it.
Looks like a rear end that just yeah. How much pressure does it take to ruin the spring and cushion and stuff in there? I don't know.
How many sits does it take to break the spring and ruin the foam?
You
just say get to the center of the seat.
Yeah, I was like, okay, are you referencing the old Tootsie Pop commercial? Because that's funny.
So your chairs are in the works. And
worst kept secret of the Northman Theater.
Yeah, I'm happy to say they are in the works though, because yeah. For a long time we'd love to get new chairs sometime eventually. So now we're actually the gears are rolling. We're looking at how to do it.
Yeah,
and we're getting quotes. And
I think the biggest downside is we don't have the overhead to be able to afford them all ourselves. So we're gonna have to request the community to help us out once more. You helped out with the projector. I know I'm super grateful because, you know, I would not be working here if we were still doing film. I don't know if we would still operate, at least not at the same capacity.
No, we would be a special events venue. We'd have we have a little white projector that we can hang from the ceiling. And that was used for a short time in the early 2000s for ads,
mm-hmm.
To play this pre-show ads because it's a digital projection. And we probably would have still been using that. For on-screen stuff, and we could have played, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays at a suboptimal quality.
Yeah, yeah,
and done special like seminars or presentations, and we would not be showing things like the Mountain Film Festival or any first run films mm-hmm. or anything like that anymore.
Yeah, how did we do the Mountain Film Festival prior to digital? Was it all on film?
Some of it was digital, so you could. From my understanding, you could input some things up from the projector room to actually be displayed through the projector, because we had a 90s film projector that could also do some digital stuff.
Okay.
But then we also had the pre-show projector. So
okay, interesting.
It was half and half and you know, not ideal.
Right. And now it just, we plug in
yep.
files and it works,
and
which is
play
great.
In beautiful, crisp HD or... if it's a DCP, as much as 2 to 4K. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So unfortunately, we have to, when it comes to seats, we have to ask the community to help us out once mm-hmm. more.
I think it's something the community wants though.
Yeah, I hope so. But it feels.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'd be nice.
It'd be nice if there was a little bit more of a break on the in-between, but it's been what, 6-ish years. Since the previous fundraiser wrapped up. So I wish it was more like 10, but I don't get to make plans. So
all right.
If my word was law, everything would be different. Much, many things would be different, but we're not here for that.
Well, you know, after pursuing whatever career you want to go into, you could come back as a retirement plan and own the theater instead.
No.
No. That was actually my dream as retirement was being the owner of a small theater.
Really?
So I kind of got to live that early. And
yeah, and then realized
I don't think
I'll
need to do that now as my retirement.
Yeah, realized
how much work it is.
Yeah, realized. Nah, I probably don't want to do that. There's a reason other like small theaters are run as like nonprofits and as like organizations.
Yeah.
Rather than like, you know, one owner and, you know, rather less than 5 people. Business. Yeah. It's rough. It's real rough. Ask me about any of the details on a time that's not the podcast, and I will give you like 3 hours of information that you probably didn't ask for. So, yeah. We're running long.
Ready to wrap this thing up?
Yeah.
Well, you know, well, there's no view from the ticket booth segment this week, so we filled that in.
Yeah, by like 3 times.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, if you're listening to the rest of this, then awesome. Thanks for tuning in. I talked earlier about it being bite-sized. This is not a bite-size. This is a...
The actual schedule part full of the podcast was bite-sized.
Yes. The rest of our talks and rants and stuff are not, so goodness. No view from the ticket booth this week, though, so we're going to end it here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We should have another episode in 2 weeks.
Yep, it comes out. Oh, goodness.
This will come out
2 weeks.
Friday, a day.
It's right before the opening of Star Wars. So,
okay.
The 18th or 19th. No, 19th is the Thursday, so it'd actually be the 20th. Yeah.
Do we want to do a review? No, that'd be too soon for Star Wars.
Oh.
Do our review of Star Wars, but that'd be like the day it comes out. Yeah.
Oh, we could. We could talk about it. It'd be fun.
Yeah. We could do a spoiler cast the 2 weeks after. It'd be fun. After we've both watched it probably 3 or 4 times and heard it even more.
Yeah. If you want to contact us or suggest anything we talk about in the podcast, you can reach us at business@northbendtheater.com by email.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call us on the office phone at 425-499-2897. And that's a little bit less consistent. We try to check our voicemails as often as we can, but emails we'll definitely see. We'll also see if you message us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Those we actually, we'll get an alert on our phone no matter where we are if you do that. So
yep.
We'll definitely see it. Yeah, that's it for contact info. Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah. And if you want to hear us rant for another 20 minutes on something,
give us a topic to rant about.
Yeah. Boy, howdy, will we. As long as we're caffeinated, we'll just keep going. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. All right, guys, go take a nap because it's Thanksgiving. Enjoy that food.
Yeah, enjoy the leftovers.